This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number two. What's happening? Good start. Good start. Tiki and Tierney, a little Saturday edition. Coming to you from our studios, our home studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Challenging times. Rocket Mortgage prepared to help. So if you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Really not sure why Pippen is so livid. At least that's the way it's been, you know, positioned. We'll get into that. The NBA's plan, the focus has been narrowed. We'll hit that little baseball stuff for you as well. You have to wonder if the Jets and the Jamal Adams situation start to take on that Darrelle Revis feel. Years ago. So all these things will weave in. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, across the country, locally here on The Fan. It's all good. Tiki, I asked you before, all right, and I want to ask this of everybody out there, because I think there's really, there's so many answers to this question. I think it's a pretty interesting way to look at the quarterback spot, because we spent time on Dak, and he's still the topic. We spent a little time on Baker, makes sense. Mentioned Darnold, makes sense as well. But if I say, you know, which quarterback faces the most pressure coming into the 2020 season? I've got mine. I think mine's actually pretty easy, and I think it's a good one.
Yeah.
You want to go first? What do
you
got?
Well, I have, there's a couple. And we've hit Dak, obviously. A lot of that will depend on whether or not he gets paid. Right? If he gets paid, the pressure, you know, lessens a little bit from a, like, personal standpoint. Mm-hmm. I think Baker Mayfield is certainly another one. One that would jump out like really strong to me is Mitch Trubisky up in Chicago.
Oh, Mitch.
I'm reluctant to put that one as my one because it almost feels like they've already made the decision. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So,
yeah.
So there really
you wasted
pressure.
A good one on somebody who's not going to play.
Yeah, that's right.
And so,
Nick Foles is there for a reason. It's not necessarily to be exactly Big Richard Nick Foles. It's not to be the backup. You know, he's there to push Mitch Trubisky. But you know the one that's going to jump out to me, BT?
Don't take mine. We got.
I'm not going to take yours. I don't think I'm taking yours.
Okay, I hope not.
I think Carson Wentz has a ton of pressure.
It's
Carson
a good
Wentz.
One.
Now, it's
a
in,
good one.
Now, the, like, he's not going to lose his job, I don't
it's a good
think.
One.
But because his cap number and his dead cap number is a ludicrous, you know, like in Spaceballs, going ludicrous speed.
His dead
cap number for this year is $77 million. Think about that, BT. 77.
Jeez.
Next year, it's 59. So it's punitive. They're not getting rid of Carson Wentz, right? But after that, so after 2021 season, so two seasons from now, they could move on if they wanted to. It'd be a big number, but assuming the cap goes up, it won't be that punitive. And let's not forget, they drafted Jalen Hurts.
That's
so
right.
To me, I think Carson has pressure, not because he's not successful, not because he's underachieved, because he's been great, to be honest with you. He almost won the MVP a couple of seasons ago, and he's been really good, but he's got to prove health, right? The biggest ability, we talk about this all the time, it's a cliche, is availability. Mm-hmm. And he's been good in the regular season. It's just when it gets to the point where they need him, he's just not been available. So I think there's pressure on Carson Wentz to learn that. Like there's all these tranches that you got to be prepared for when you get to the NFL. You got to learn how to, you know, be a good teammate, especially if you're a leader. Mm-hmm. You got to learn how to learn the offense, and
you got to learn how to work multiple cell phones so you don't get pinched.
That's right, exactly. You got to find your burner accounts and everything else. But one of the most important things:
stop smoking weed at the right time, so you don't get pinched there.
You only get tested one time, and now you're even clean of that. You don't got to learn that one anymore
because
you don't
get
penalized. Have a fall guy, as Chris Carter would have told you.
But really,
BT, yeah, it's about learning how to stay healthy. It took me 4 years to figure that out. And luckily, I was able to hang on while they brought in Joe Montgomery and, you know, Sean Bennett and Gary Brown and ultimately drafted Ron Dane. I was able to hang on through all of that, but I finally figured out how to stay healthy, and that's when my career took off. Carson Wentz, that's the one thing he's got to figure out. You got to figure out how to stay on the field and be available for your team in critical moments, because I think the Philadelphia Eagles have – I mean, they won a Super Bowl, so it's hard to say they've underachieved.
But they won it without him.
Yeah, exactly. But it's hard to say they've underachieved as a team because they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's been opportunity that's been missed.
Agreed.
Because of Carson Wentz's injury history. So he's the one that jumps to my mind.
That's a good one. I didn't think he'd go there. That's a strong one. 855-212-4227. Let's get some calls. I'll give you mine in a little bit, but I want to weave you back in on the conversation. Let's go to Steve in New Jersey. And Steve is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What up, Steve?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi, Steve.
I'm talking about kind of like you've actually brought up some of what I was going to talk about. You brought up Baker and you brought up some of these other guys. And you talk about teams got having to know when to move on. Yeah. And I think teams just got to be more cutthroat. And I think you're going to start seeing it a lot more. There's going to be GMs that are going to go, if you don't show me as a QB that you're an absolute stud, top 10 or top 8 guy, but in the third year, teams should just move on.
I agree with you.
You win, and you have your best chance when you got QBs on rookie deals. And to me, Wentz is like the perfect guy. Wentz is a guy I would have signed and kept. Goff is a guy I never would have, because I think Wentz can win games on his own. Wentz can take a subpar team and get them to the playoffs. I don't think Goff ever will. I think if everything's perfect around Goff, he can put up numbers. Kind of like, yeah. I mean, that's the way I think about Dak. I think, put everything around Dak, that's absolutely... If you flipped Wentz and Dak from their teams last year, the Cowboys would have went 12-4 or 13-3 and been a serious Super Bowl contenders, and the Eagles would have been out of it at, you know, 4-12 or something.
That's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting.
Steve, call, man. Good
great,
stuff.
Great call. But he's right. I mean, think about that. I mean, Dak or Carson got let down because his receivers couldn't catch the football. You know, remember? They just dropping passes. Remember that one he dropped into Nelson Aguilar?
Right in the back of the end zone.
Yep. And he just dropped it, man. It's like, and that was a winning, that was a game winning pass, right? And so, he's right. It's a good call by Steve. And I think GMs are starting to get more cutthroat like that and say, dude, if you don't show it to me, I can't ride with you. Because if I ride with you, that's my job too.
855-212-4227. Let's go to Louisville. Carl is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Carl?
What's up, man? I ain't gonna lie. I'm tired of all of the Dallas callers. Some of they don't know if that's worth it. They sick of. They don't want to give. Let me explain to everybody what it is. Let me say, Kirk Cousins is probably the most brilliant quarterback of the last 5 years.
That's right.
All of this is Kirk Cousins' fault. Kirk Cousins. I'm telling you, they didn't want to give him a deal with Carson 1 year, so they franchised. He got $24 million. The next year, they didn't want to give him a deal. They franchised and he got $26 million. Then he got a big deal out of Minnesota. Then Minnesota just gave him an extension. Goff has a big deal. Tannehill just got a big deal. Only thing you got to give that to market. Here's the kicker. He doesn't really want a deal. He's going to keep throwing out ridiculous numbers because he'll get 31 this year on a franchise tag and 31 next year. That's $62 million. All of this is Kirk Cousins' fault.
Yeah.
So Dallas fans can be mad, but you have to pay him the market because everybody is getting it. But it's all Kirk Cousins' fault.
It is Kirk Cousins' fault, man. He gamed the system. BT and I talked about this last week.
Thanks,
we got a little heated over this. I have so much respect for Kirk Cousins. One, because we met him, BT, at the Super Bowl. He is a genuinely great dude. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It's just like, if I'm taking someone home to my parents, if I'm a female, that's who I'm taking, right? Because he is that guy.
No, he's a good dude, man.
Great, 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 great.
Kind of happy he's not my quarterback, but he's a good guy.
But still, you know what I mean? So, but it's not even because of his, his ability as a quarterback. It's not even what I'm talking about. Like, there was a system that was set up against him. because he was a late round pick. He wasn't a first or second round pick. He was like an afterthought to Robert Griffin.
Fourth round.
Right? And so, fourth round. And fourth. So for the entirety of his starting career in Washington, he was fighting his draft grade. It was like, all right, you're a fourth round pick and we picked you. So we don't think you're any better than that. So we're not going to pay you, but you're good and you're winning for us. So we're going to franchise you.
Well, why didn't Joe Montana have to fight his draft grade? Same thing. Fourth round.
Because it's different era.
I know it's different.
It's the money. Right. BT, this is all money. Money is the root of all evil. That's also a cliche. I'm going to throw them like 100 out today.
Yeah, he's got a lot of them today.
Right? But think about it, BT. When the NFL started getting crazy money, like billionaire, like multiple billionaires, like double-digit billionaire money, and quarterback salary started exponentially, and that's the right word for it too, exponentially exploding. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, quarterbacks were making like 18. It's like, dude, you're going to pay a quarterback $20 million? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Now they're making 35, right? It's been ridiculous growth for quarterbacks. So when Joe Montana was playing, you could afford to make a mistake and pay a guy too much. Oh, you're paying him $3 million? Oh my God, what are you going to do? You can't make a mistake right now because it crushes you on the cap. Carson, good example, BT. I just told you his debt cap numbers. For the next 2 years, it's $130 million combined. Right? Think about that. For 2 years, his dead cap number. That means you cannot get rid of him, period.
See, but that alone, and that's the problem, the dead cap. What the hell does that even mean?
I agree.
We
talk about this all the time. Like, I don't even half understand
this
it, really.
This is so stupid. The dead cap money. All right, listen. As long as the team pays whatever they're required to pay a guy, right? Whatever the guaranteed element of the deal. If they decide to move on, I mean, I don't want to say I don't understand it because I do, but it just infuriates me that so much of the finances in the NFL are nebulous.
Yeah.
Like nobody understands them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really the only thing you got to pay attention to is guaranteed money. That's the only thing that matters.
Well, but not really, because it depends on what remains.
Well, yes, because of the cap. Yes, yeah. You're right. But I'm talking about like if you're looking at somebody's deal and you're like, oh man, he didn't do that well.
Yeah, that part's true. Sure.
If he had XYZ guaranteed, he actually did all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I got you. All right, I got my quarterback for you. Ready?
Go ahead.
My quarterback facing the most pressure coming into the 2020 season is. Do you have a guess who I might be? Give me a guess. You know
I'm going to say it's Josh Allen.
Look at this guy. He nails it. It's Josh Allen.
It is. Only because you've been lauding him. So I know that there must be some kind of like caveat to this.
Well, there is. Because now for the first time, the Bills have legitimate expectations.
That's a good point.
And when that happens, you don't look to the head coach. You do, but not. You look to the quarterback. Because that's the more fun conversation. You know, think about if we just tried to have a conversation about Mike McCarthy, the head coach of Dallas, rather than Dak, the quarterback of Dallas, for the first 40 minutes of the show. We'd be falling asleep talking about it.
Yep.
And nobody would want to hear it. Nobody would want to call in a way. You might have, hey, he's a good coach, got a championship, next topic. It's not nearly, there's no depth to it. But Josh Allen, all right, first of all, you went out and you got Stephon Diggs. You bring him in. You have Devin Singletary, good young player. You have John Brown, good player. Mm-hmm. Beasley, good guy with the sticks, right?
Yep.
You've got a winning culture. So they've already been to the playoffs two of the last 3 years. Now, one of those years, obviously, Josh Allen was at Wyoming. That was Tyrod Taylor. And that was a horrendous game to watch. Remember that game?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Dude.
I very rarely turn
off playoff games.
That was a tough one.
That one was tough.
That was tough. But the Buffalo, and forget about their defense, Tre'Davious White, who might be the best corner in football. They got a ton of horses up front. Unlike Baker, unlike Daniel Jones, unlike Sam Darnold, unlike Kyler Murray, and unlike a few others, Joe Burrow, Tua, if he plays this year, he should. Unlike those guys, there's already a winning formula that's in place in Buffalo. So the other guys I mentioned, they're trying to learn the pace and the speed of the game and grow, et cetera, while also overcoming a stench in their building that's been tough to get rid of. The Bills are used to winning a little bit here. Now you mix in 4 primetime games. They're getting love on the national scene, as they should. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the one guy who's been in your way for 20 years is now gone, Tom Brady. Yeah,
that's right.
Everybody that will weigh in, whether it's a website, a radio show, unless they're just trying to play contrarian, Everybody will pick the Bills to win the AFC East this year, and rightfully so.
Yeah. Do you hear what Frank Gore, your new running back, your backup running back, said?
Yeah,
he's like, I came to the Jets
because
it's a wide open conference or a wide open division.
I know.
And he's right.
Well, he also could have said, I came to the Jets because two of the other three teams I was already on, and they don't want me anymore, and the Pats don't need me. So, I respect Frank Gore, but that quote means nothing
point.
To me.
But his point about the division is well stated.
Yeah, no, I got
it. It's not a foregone conclusion. I mean, and it's been one forever.
20.
It's been a foregone conclusion, and now it's open. And if there's one team that has been... Now, look, I like the culture of the Miami Dolphins. I don't want to pan the Miami Dolphins. But if there's one team that is primed to just jump into the void left by created by Tom Brady leaving and, you know, a potential turmoil happening there. I mean, turmoil for the Pats is going to be 9-7 or 8-8. You know what I mean? So, but still, if there's a team that's ready to jump into that void, it's the Buffalo Bills.
No question.
No doubt about it.
No, they're supposed to win.
Of course.
They're supposed to win.
You hit every piece that you needed. You have every piece, right?
Yep.
You have a good offense, a well-constructed offense, I should say, a good defense. You bring in Mario Addison from Carolina, who was the leading sacker for the Panthers last year. So you add to that, as long as Ed Oliver stays out of trouble, you know, with this.
And by the way, they're not even like relying on Ed Oliver. He was good. He wasn't great last year.
But still, if he lives to his potential, they just get better.
Listen.
So I think the Bills they're a team that they're not getting the hype like the Browns did last year, but they're a team that if you were quietly hyping a team, it would be the Bills.
I totally agree. Let's get Terrence in Georgia. Terrence is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What up, Terrence? How you doing today?
I'm doing good, guys. How about yourself?
Awesome, brother.
Doing well, man.
Go ahead.
First things first. Tiki, I think you should be in the hall.
I appreciate that. Maybe one of these days.
I looked up your numbers, and you got the same numbers as Marshall Faulk. There's just one glaring difference. And I'm a Giants fan.
Anyway, by the way, Terrence, he's going to be in the Radio Hall of Fame one day.
Hey, Terrence, just find out who I need to like grease the palms to, and you know, I'll get some cash to somebody. Maybe that'll help because I don't know what else to do.
Listen,
your numbers speak for yourself. Speak for themselves, Pete.
Yeah, it's all good.
A great play.
But if I'm a Giants fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced about who Jones. But I trade him straight up for Dak in a heartbeat.
Really?
Oof.
Oh, yeah, really.
Yikes.
Really?
Good luck with that.
I would trade Dak for Who Jones without even thinking about it.
Wow. Why? I don't know if I can co-sign that one. Go ahead. Why?
Dak is durable. Dak plays the game the right way. Okay. And why Cowboy fans don't want to pay Dak is beyond me.
Because he doesn't win anything.
He's only calling what the market is bearing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, look, at the end of the day, and appreciate your call, and appreciate the sentiments on the Hall of Fame. Maybe I'll go with my brother one of these days.
He guys got a little joint admission.
Yeah, exactly.
Two for the price of one. Let him in already.
But to me, and we mentioned this, we briefly said it, BT, and it's because you lumped in Sam Darnold as well. I kind of feel like I know what Dak is.
Yes.
Now, maybe he starts making some climbs and starts making some throws that I just haven't seen yet. And, does things that I'm just like, wow.
Not happening.
Right. I don't see it coming.
No.
And when I say wow, I'm talking about like what we see when we watch Pat Mahomes. You know what I mean? Or when we watch Aaron Rodgers back in the day, we were just like, wow, are you kidding me? Did he just do that? Or Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson scrambling around for 18 seconds, you know, 35 seconds, and then he throws like a moon bomb that hits his dude right in the breadbasket 45 yards downfield, right? Like, I want to see wow, and I haven't seen that yet. I don't know if I'm going to see it from Sam Darnold. I don't know if I'm going to see it
from Sam.
I don't know yet if I'm going to see it from Sam Darnold.
No,
I don't know if I'm going to see it from Daniel Jones.
You will.
But I believe that I will.
Yes.
I don't believe that I will from Dak.
You won't. Because the difference is this. Here's the analogy for you. Take any young pitcher in baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, forget about his numbers. Forget about whether or not the team he's on is good or bad. Just look at the stuff. You know electric and you know swing and miss stuff when you see it. And you know when a guy's having an uncomfortable at bats. And the electric stuff, like to me, Kyler Murray if he was to use the pitching analogy, Kyler Murray has electric stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, will that be harnessed into an ace like? Well, I think it probably will be, but we'll see. But I look at Dak. You know what I see? I see a competent third starter.
Mm-hmm.
I see a which is fine.
Yeah, good.
Can't pay him like an ace.
Exactly.
And
right.
That's what he's trying. You know, so I see a comp on a good. And by the way, not just a competent third starter, a competent third starter on a good team.
Yeah.
You know, like on the Yankees or the Astros or the Dodgers or the Twins are coming. You know, take any team that's good in baseball. A good third starter. He's not your ace, and he's not your two.
Yeah.
Look, and that's the problem. He's not electric.
A caller, I forget his name, two or three callers ago, when he was talking about Kirk Cousins, he was dead on it. I mean, Dak, the only way Dak is going to get paid like he wants to get paid, that is $30-plus million a year,
yeah,
is take the Kirk Cousins route. It's to do the franchise tag this year,
because
they don't have the money to sign a deal for him, another $5.5 million under the cap. They might not have it next year either. Do another franchise tag next year. You know you're going to be healthy because you've been durable.
Mm-hmm.
Make $60-something million in 2 years. Prove it, right? Get close to proving it for the Cowboys, and then force their hand when things are maybe financially better, or you've proven that you are that guy.
Yep.
That's the only way Dak's getting paid. So he might be doing this on purpose.
That'd be interesting.
That's an astute call. I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah.
But he might be.
And listen, if that's the case and it plays out like that over the next couple of years, he'll be 28 when he's a free agent. And
yep,
if it works well and he bets on himself and he bets correctly, then he gets every penny he's looking for. I hear you. 855-212-4227. We'll get some more. We'll do another segment on the NFL. Then Teague and I are going to transition to the NBA, get into the Pippen stuff, get into the NBA's plan for a return. 1-855-212-4227. Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, locally here on The Fan. More calls coming up. CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4CBS. Sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that'll last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. All right,
BT,
let's get back to
I got to tell you, hold on real quick.
Yeah.
Hickey's my dude, man.
Well,
I love you, Hickey. Coming back with the Knight Rider theme song. Dude, that was money.
You love that.
That was money.
Hasselhoff, huh? You're a big hash guy?
No. You know, I was on Knight Rider. You remember when Knight Rider
I do remember when you did that.
Right?
Yes.
It came back. So, kudos, Hickey.
Although I think that's a new version. I don't think that he actually got that off of YouTube from the
1984
sitcom.
It doesn't matter. When you heard that, you thought Knight Rider.
Of course I did. No, that was a cool show, man. I hear you. 855-212-4227. We'll get the hoops heavy coming up next hour. Mike is in California. What's up, Mike? Tiki and Tierney. How you doing today?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What up, Mike?
Not much. Hey, I'm just curious. You know, I keep hearing everybody talk about the big problem with Dak Prescott is he can't win.
Mm-hmm. You can't win.
But here's my question. We say that, but Jason Garrett couldn't win before Dak, and he couldn't win after Dak.
True. I mean, Jason Garrett was coach of the year.
How much success is Dak versus Jason Garrett?
It's a little bit of both. It really is. And that's why Jason Garrett is no longer the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. But let's not forget that Jason Garrett, in a season that they were supposed to win it all, Tony Romo jacks up his back in a weird sack whatever in the preseason, and they still end up having the league's leading rusher and win 11 games that
year?
They
weren't going to win it all that year.
I don't know. Maybe they would have. If Tony Romo is healthy.
They weren't going to win it.
What a lot of people believe they did were, is including Shaquille O'Neal, who came on our show that year and proclaimed,
that's right,
to the fact that, to the tune of, I'll walk down Hudson Street, which is where our show is normally broadcast,
Lower Manhattan.
Not from our homes and our offices.
Yeah.
He's going to walk down the street his underwear with a sign that said, listen to and watch Tiki and Tierney. People believed the Cowboys were going to win that year. Now, obviously, when Tony Romo got hurt, it was just like, oh, what are you going to do? Who's your backup quarterback? Right? Who's your backup quarterback? Here comes Dak Prescott. And he wins 11 games or something.
I know.
And so Jason Garrett won Coach of the Year. So the point is, to his point, they're both really good.
Yeah.
They're both not great.
No. By the way, can you imagine, as he told us, and he mooched, so we know Shaq a little bit, we love Shaq, but he's the big mooch. Forget about the big Aristotle, he's the big mooch. But could you imagine Shaq parading up and down Hudson Street in a banana hammock.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
With a sign that said Tiki and Tiki. He'd have to go to a sporting goods store to get a tent.
Exactly.
Oh, were you going camping? No, I just need I gotta wear underwear out
dude,
in public.
He literally doesn't fit in the door in our studio. Right? Specifically, he has to duck
and
turn sideways to get into the door in our studio.
Remember, he told us the story of the boogie hook from Newark back in the day? The old boogie hook?
Yeah.
He missed on purpose. Yes. Yep. How about Craig up in Michigan? What up, Craig? Tiki and Tierney, how you doing today?
Hey, doing great. Good afternoon, fellas. I want to talk about where I think the league's going in the next 2 years. When they add that 17th game between 2021 and 2023. But quickly about Dak. I mean, the guy's got NFL speed, athleticism. He belongs as a starting quarterback. I think he's in the top half of the league. But I don't think he deserves to be paid like the best guy. But you know what? Neither did Derek Carr 2 years ago when they made him the NFL's highest player with a five-year, $125 million contract. So
good point.
What people, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, if you can get your money, get it. I ain't mad at him.
Craig, we're not mad at him. Thanks for the call, buddy. We're just trying to determine if you do pay him that money, what remains of the team. We're not get as much as you can, especially in that sport.
Yeah.
Where they'll throw you out the trash the moment you can't help them or make them money. I mean, these contracts are a joke. Get every penny. Absolutely. Doesn't mean it's the right move by Dallas. But I hear you. Listen, we're not debating if he's good. We're debating if he's great. And our answer is no.
Yeah. And if you're going to be the highest paid player in the league, you better be great, or at least trending that way.
Devin is in Brooklyn. What up, Devin? Tiki and Tierney, how you doing today?
Hey, guys. So, look, I think everybody, except for that one guy who's a little crazy, agrees that Dak isn't worth the money. But I keep coming back to, and you asked the question, well, you know, what's the line between good and great? And earlier you said, you know, how many quarterbacks are there who can, you know, elevate a team, not necessarily by themselves, but can take them to the Super Bowl or to a Super Bowl contender? And I say that the answer is zero. That every single quarterback who has won a Super Bowl or gets to a Super Bowl does it because of their coach, because they're in the right system, because of their teammates. The last three NFC representatives of the quarterbacks, Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Nick Foles. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. Eli Manning, who's an average quarterback, won two.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson's a great player. Rex Ryan wanted to draft him. If Deshaun Watson had been drafted by the Jets, he would not be Deshaun Watson. Tom Brady gets hurt 1 year. Matt Cassel wins 10 games. Big Ben goes down. Pittsburgh's 8-8 and still in the playoff hunt last year.
Yeah.
It is not about the quarterback. It is about the system. Dak Prescott could win a Super Bowl if he were in the right system. You talk about anything below that.
Yeah,
there is a Mendoza line. There is, you know, a level of an upper tier where it's, this guy can elevate the talent on his team. And that's a guy like, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes. Although, again, Mahomes went to Andy Reid in Kansas City, who built an offense around him for him.
Yeah, but hold on a sec, Dev. Now I got to stop you for a sec. There's been a lot of other quarterbacks with a lot of talent, where they ripped off a ton of wins in the regular season with Andy Reid and that innovative offense and didn't win.
Well, yeah,
sure, and again, if you're you know, saying a quarterback is only as good as one game or a couple games in the playoffs, sure. But Aaron Rodgers won, one Super Bowl, missed the playoffs a couple times. Drew Brees has had as many 7-9 seasons as he has deep playoff runs. The fact of the matter is that a quarterback alone, and you can be the best quarterback in the world.
Oh, we don't debate
have
this.
The right pieces around you aren't going to win.
We're not debating that.
I think the crux to your point, like just to dial through the important points that you're making, is you can't have the right pieces around you if you're paying quarterbacks $35 million, 15% of your cap a year. You just can't. And so there's a narrative, and it's wrong, that the quarterback is paramount. It's a quarterback-driven league. If you don't have your quarterback, you're not going to win. Therefore, you got to pay your quarterback, you know, 5 or 6% higher than the next highest paid guy. And that's a significant number, man. And so I disagree just slightly, because I do believe Pat Mahomes is one of those difference makers.
If you
go back to that Super Bowl, they were just – there was a meme that came out because of the new proposal that the NFL is potentially is putting on the table to talk about onside kicks.
Fourth and 15.
Yep. To which, you know, Patrick Mahomes tweeted 4th and 15 and had like a laughing emoji, which led people back to the Super Bowl. Because I think we've forgotten, like Pat Mahomes not only is this uber athlete and this great leader and this unbelievable competitor, he's got a football IQ like you just don't see very often. And so they went back to the Super Bowl, and they were down 20-10, right? And guys are starting to get down. Tyreek Hill's on the bench. He's like, he's sulking. And Pat Mahomes is over there like, come on, get up. We're going to get a chance. We're going to get a shot. Mm-hmm. And they get a shot, and there's a third and 15, right? No, a second and 15. I think a third and 15 or whatever it was. And they complete it, right? But they go back. They review it. It's incomplete. So they come back. They have to do it again. He's over on the sideline talking to Eric Bieniemy, who's the offensive coordinator, and he's talking about this play called a wasp, right? And it's a three receiver set to the wide side of the field. The outside receiver runs a dig route, so 15 yards, and digs inside. The inside receiver, who is a tight end, Travis Kelce, runs like a shallow cross, so he's pulling the defense left. And then the middle receiver, the slot on that side per se, runs a wasp route, which is like a deep over, but then you put your foot in the ground and head back to the corner, right? And it only works versus a specific defense, right? If you play cover two, like a shell, like zone, it's not going to work. But if you play man coverage, and when it's third and long, you know you're getting man coverage because they want you to get the ball out of your hands fast, so throw the ball in 3 seconds or less. What they do is they run this wasp route. They get single high coverage. Tyreek Hill digs inside, puts his foot in the ground. Patrick Mahomes waits till the absolute last second, completes that third and 15 or fourth and 15, whatever it was. They go on and they score, and they ultimately win the Super Bowl. Like, that was on the quarterback, right? As much as we want to say, oh, it was a play call, it was this, that was on a quarterback having a higher understanding of the game. Mm-hmm. And if there's one guy that I would argue with that last caller about, it's Pat Mahomes, because he's on a different level than what most quarterbacks we're seeing right now.
Yeah, and by the way, it's really just a broad way of saying, I'm going to boil it down quickly. I know we have to get the update here, start getting some hoops as well. But, yeah, I mean, do we literally mean that one guy for a moribund franchise with a porous offensive line and pedestrian weaponry at the on the outside would elevate a 3-13 team?
No,
of course not. Whereas in the NBA, if you put LeBron on an 8 seed, he's going to transform him to, we're going to have home court advantage and have a puncher's chance for a championship. It's totally different. We get that. What I mean when I use that line of delineation between players that I think can win a team a Super Bowl, I look at it this way. You know, down multiple scores, even if it's only a touchdown on the field, it doesn't have to be two touchdowns, but down multiple scores in the second half, do you still feel comfortable that this guy, if you have to abandon the run for a little bit, that whatever player we're talking about can stop back and fling it around the yard if it's on the road, if it's chilly, if it's sunny, if it's wet, it doesn't matter where it is, that guy can get his team in the end zone enough to win the game? And that's how I look at it. And, you know, on that list, there's probably, you know, right now, I'd say probably, you know, five or six definites with three or four other intriguing emerging names, but we understand. I mean, yep. It's the ultimate team. It's not a team sport. It's the ultimate team sport. I got
ultimate
it.
Ultimate team sport. I have it here, BT. Yeah. 7 minutes and 17 seconds left in the third quarter. Third and 15 from the Kansas City 35. Deep pass to Tyreek Hill, 44 yards. Four plays later, Pat.
That was horrendous defense, too. That ball should have been picked. That was up in the air. That was bad. That was bad finding the ball.
But it was
skill.
It was the route. It was the route.
I guess that was hanging up. That wasn't a great throw.
It was a speed turn. They have it mic'd up. So the DB is like, dude, he had me on a speed. I had to speed turn it. So I couldn't he had to turn his back. So a speed turn is you're covering a guy. You know he's coming back the other way. You got to turn your back to get back to the football, so you can't locate the football. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The other way to turn is to pivot. You know what I mean? So you're running back one way. You just open your hips and pivot so you can always see the quarterback, right?
Okay.
Because of the way Tyreek Hill ran that route and the way that Pat Mahomes threw it, it was a 44-yard completion. Pat Mahomes throws to Travis Kelce for, you know, three, four plays later. The 49ers go three and out. Pat Mahomes in, gets it to Damian Williams for a five-yard touchdown. They win the football game, right? It's little things that win football games. Pat Mahomes suggesting that to Eric Bieniemy, mm-hmm, is what won them that Super Bowl.
Tonight, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. Tune it to CBS Sports Network to watch the challenge, Champs versus Stars. The competition continues. Tune in to see who overcomes the toughest challenges in the world and wins a share of $150,000 large to donate to the charity of their choice on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports, CBS Sports Network. Okay, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio on Saturday. And we're here until 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. So Couple of more hours to go, and we'll get back to the calls, I promise. Want to introduce a few more topics, though. Something Teek and I spent some time on during the week on our show, which, by the way, is 3 to 6 Eastern across the country on CBS Sports Radio. Also simulcast. If you want to watch us, you could do that. CBS Sports Network is the Scottie Pippen residue from the 10-part documentary of the Jordan series, The Last Dance. Now, the word that was used was livid, all right? It wasn't directly attributed to Scottie. Scottie didn't come out and say anything, really. But those who spoke for Scottie, who know Scottie, and or should I say are familiar with Scottie's thinking, that's how they kind of frame it in the media, said that he's livid. And I got to tell you, I think it's one of the strangest things I've heard in a while here, because to me, you know, in a lot of ways, and I broke it down to four components, Teek. The contract early, the surgery, electing to do it late so it didn't ruin his summer, quitting on the Bulls against the Knicks, and the heroic performance against Utah in Game 6 of the NBA Finals when his back was all jacked up. And to be honest with you, the way it started, because we talked about it the next day after the first episode, we're like, wow, Scottie Pippen was the 122nd highest paid player in the NBA?
Yeah.
He got hosed, man. What? And he became almost a sympathetic figure that only added to his greatness. So I don't want to, you know, dominate the whole thing, but to set it up, to me, yeah, feel how you want to feel. I'm not going to say that you're wrong, but I don't understand why he's livid if he truly is.
The only reason that I could ascertain that he would be livid, and again, we don't know when this emotion was communicated to his friends, and his friends then passed it on to media, who then made it go national, because it happened to coincide with Horace Grant calling Michael Jordan a liar. You know, he's a liar. I didn't link to Sam, what's his name with the Jordan rules? Sam Smith. I didn't leak anything to Sam Smith from the Jordan rules book. Obviously, Sam and I were close friends, but, you know, I had nothing to do with it. For Michael Jordan to come out and say that, he's a liar. That's what Horace Grant said. And so to piggyback that, to have a disgruntled, I put that in quotes, or livid, put that definitely in quotes, Scottie Pippen just adds to a negative narrative, which makes you click, right? But to be honest, the only reason that Scottie Pippen should be mildly upset, and I say mildly upset, not livid, was because there were like three or so really bad things that happened in his career. They quickly were overshadowed. One was him not going into the game with the Tony Kukoc shot.
His own fault.
Exactly. His own fault, but they won the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's not like, it's almost like who cares, right? This isn't an expose on Scottie Pippen and, you know, what he did great and what he didn't do great in his life. So to highlight that was, it was a little bit unfair. I agree. But in the end of the day, you come off as a hero because of what you did against Utah Jazz in Game 6 in 98. And so it's like, yes, they exposed something, you know, really low point in your career, but they also showed you how much of an important part you were to the success of the Bulls and the success of Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. which I think is the lasting memory. It's the lasting takeaway is how important he was to Jordan himself.
Well, listen, without Scottie Pippen, you know, who knows what Jordan accomplishes. He certainly is not 6-for-6. You know, he can make the case.
There's no chance.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to see who you substitute in there. I mean, if it was another all-timer, maybe they – but their complement, the skills complemented each other so well that it would be hard to find somebody that was that, you know, defensive-oriented, which allowed Michael to exert – even though Michael was a great defensive player, but Scottie can take different matchups because he was more versatile given his length, a little taller than Michael. And, you know, Michael could just focus on being the ultimate shot maker. Again, he obviously 9 first team, all NBA defensive teams, I get that. But Scottie was a different defender than Michael. I get it. I mean, the fact that Scottie's personality was a little dialed down, if you had another alpha in there, like if you had Gary Payton in there, I'm just thinking of names from the past, if you had Gary Payton in there with Michael, I mean, maybe you could tell me it would work, but I don't know. Gary Payton would not have put up with some of that MJ stuff. He would have snapped back at him, and maybe that would have been the end of a harmonious relationship. To me, it's unforgivable, though. And, you know, this becomes a referendum on Scottie only because of the story this week using the word livid that he's unhappy. But just, you know, I need – because you and I seem to fundamentally have a difference on this. you know, you brush over it and you almost transition to get to your next point. And I can't do that. Like, when you say, you know, all right, he refused to go into the game, but Kukoc hit the shot anyway. That doesn't absolve him from quitting. Imagine, just imagine Mariano Rivera or Dennis Eckersley or Bruce Sutter or any great closer of the past refusing to go out and get the 27th out because he didn't like, I don't know, for whatever reason. He maybe didn't like the way his manager was, he wasn't given enough time to warm up, whatever stupid reason it was. Scottie Pippen, again, I forgave him for it. Because I largely, I don't want to say I forgot about it, but I don't really at this point don't care. What I do care about, when you're on camera 25 years later and you still look into the camera and say you do the same thing, it shows no growth, no self-awareness, no introspective nature. That's what made him look the worst. So that's why I go to the scoreboard. The contract, we all had his back. He was screwed.
Yes.
The surgery, all right, that's kind of weak. You wanted to have a good summer. I guess... like the guy in us can.
But at the end of the day, that one even is not that big of a deal if Michael Jordan's not calling him selfish, right? And that's where someone.
But it was pretty selfish.
Still Michael Jordan's calling him selfish.
But
man.
It was.
I hear you, but still.
All right, we got to get back to this. 855-212-4227. Also, the NBA's new plan for the reopening of the season. Do you think Scottie's got a right to really, you know, feel almost disenfranchised here, just flat out dissed by MJ and what came out of this documentary? 855-212-4CBS, Tiki and Tierney, third hour coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.